You can turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be looking at just two verses there, but they're powerful verses. Verse 57 and 58. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is known as the resurrection chapter, as you know. It's a chapter of rejoicing in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray the Lord will bless us to do that today. That we don't do that enough, I'm convinced. That's why we're so lackadaisical, sometimes even lazy in our faith. We doubt and discourage more than we ought to. And we struggle with sin more than we have to. May the Lord be glorified today as we lift Him up. Verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." I think about these verses that we read. These two, thanks be to God. I pray that we can thank God for everything. I mean, that's what the Bible says do. Be thankful for everything. If you can't thank God for something, then you really don't appreciate the victory that is in Jesus, okay? So may God help us to do that. Notice too, which giveth us the victory. God is the one that gives us the victory. I love that hymn, Victory in Jesus, don't you? But I noticed as we sung it, maybe I've never noticed before, that He plunged me to victory. God brings us down to bring us up. And that's what is such amazing about God's victory in Christ, our Lord. I have noticed, or I've had this happen several times in funerals where families would request this hymn, Victory in Jesus, to be sung as a recessional hymn. And I believe that's so fitting. I really do. When we think about a time where you would think even more, it's not needful to sing such a hymn, but there's the time to do it. It's kind of like the cross of Jesus that He died on Calvary, when it didn't look so victorious there, but it was. Sometimes in your life and your struggles, it probably doesn't look like you're going to make it. You may be having some wonders and doubts and fears in your life right now. I don't know. Most likely we all do. Deep down, if we really assess our relationship with God. Just the other day, a man called me. He's over at hospice. He used to attend church here. And I couldn't remember meeting the guy until I got there. I recognized him, but he's there. And I walked up to his bed and I said, "Well, brother, what brings you here?" He says, "You know, Brother Andy, I'm going to die." He says, "You know, that time is coming for all of us." And he wasn't frantic about it. He wasn't. He even had a peace, I believe, in his eyes when he told me that. But then he followed that up and he said, "You know, Jesus Christ died for my sins. And he says, I am so thankful that my sins are forgiven." Now, I thought that about leaving there, that man laying there on that bed, and I could walk out. But you know, that man was attesting to the victory in Jesus. It was not about his accomplishments or that he had lived a perfect, righteous life. No, he had said, "I'm a sinner. But Jesus died for my sins." You know what victory means, as I understand it? Victory means that you have master, that you master something. You have a mastery over it. It also means freedom, okay? And that's what happens when we have victory in Jesus. Jesus triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. Look at verse 27 in this very chapter. I believe it's verse 27. Yes, in 1 Corinthians 15. For he, that is Christ, has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, he it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under his feet. That is, he died on the cross for us. He took our place. He suffered the defeat for us that the victory would come. And so all things are put under his feet. That's everything. So we have victory. And the first point I want to make from this splendid, powerful text from God is there's victory in Christ, but to understand that the conquering is already done. We already have the victory. It's not a matter of we're going to get it or if we are good enough or if Christ can make it through the second coming. It's already done. And what we need to do is trust God with everything. We need to live in the victorious life. That was a beautiful song that Priya sung. But I thought about as she was singing that song again, that not only is God there again, that we can go to Him again and again and confess our sin, because sometimes when we are burdened and we're hurting and we have fears and doubts and even the unredeemed flesh rises up and we have to go to God for the same deal. I know I do sometime. But do you know that because He is victorious that we can in fact do that? Did you know that Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us? I want you to know that. That He's pleading for us. That when Randy Waters sins, I go to my God and because of the quickening of His Holy Spirit, because Jesus has dealt with evil, all of it, so that our hearts are open and not shut off and hardened to godly things. And so when we do wrong, we hurt and we have guilt and we can go to God through Christ. And He can say, you know, God's pleading Christ. I can almost hear Him say, well, Heavenly Father, I died for that boy. My blood was shed for him. And I want to tell you, He does that for you too. And that is the victory that we have in Christ. We need to live like there's victory in Jesus. Sometimes I think we let what's wrong with the world have more weight in our lives than what's right with God. You hear me? Jesus is reigning. He is Lord. He has gotten the victory. You know what He said in John 19 on the cross when it looked like all was gone? He said, it is finished. Telelestai, three words, that's what it means. It's complete, it's over. What is finished? Our redemption. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's a lamb slain, yet He's standing victorious. And what that means is not that some preacher will go to some foreign land or China or somewhere where people hadn't heard the gospel. It means that every one of the elect of God, of a number, the Revelation says that no man can number of every nation, kindred, tongue, will stand and praise God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It is finished. If you think you're going to go to a meeting somewhere, or you got to go to a certain place and have a revival, or you got to do this, that, and the other, and you get there and it's already over, and you say, well, I missed it. You haven't missed it. You're really too late. Jesus has already done it. Do not tell me that you got to come and you accept Jesus but to be saved. You are already saved. Now you need to come and say it. Yes, you do. You need to do that. You need to do that for your strength, because I'm going to tell you, you know how we get a handle on the victory in Jesus? We get a handle on the victory of Jesus by our faith. That's why God gave us faith. And He didn't give it to everybody. He gave it to ones He redeemed. See, we don't have to go down to the airport of life and wait like we're on standby. Maybe they're going to have room for us. No, we have a ticket bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. That ticket will take us completely and finally to our eternal destination, which is heaven and immortal glory. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or how much you know or what you don't know. What matters is Christ. What matters is what Jesus did. You know, there was a time a few years ago, I found this out by accident. I still like to watch the Atlanta Braves. They're getting hard to watch now. But I used to watch them more than I did now. But one day I was watching one evening and they were playing, and I got to thinking, they've already played that game. I mean, I thought I saw it on my phone. And I looked up in the corner, in the small letters. All the letters are getting smaller now to me, but these were in the small of the screen, and it said replay. See, the game was a replay. But I enjoyed that game a lot. I didn't say what I've already seen. No, because I knew they were going to win. So, man, I looked at that game and I enjoyed it, and even the strikeouts the Braves did and the errors they made, that was all right. Because I knew what it was going to look like at the end. And I want you to know this. Don't you be discouraged. In your life right now, it might not look so good. But I want to tell you today from God that there's victory in Jesus. You hear me? Victory in Jesus. You say, well, you know, I sin. You don't have to sin. Now, I know we like to say, and we kind of feed on this, well, I know I'm a sinner. Yeah, we all are. But the truth is, we don't have to do it. Now, I'm not saying we don't do it, because I know too well we do, but I'm going to tell you we don't have to. And the reason we do is we don't claim the victory in Jesus. I know that because Paul says in Romans 6, he says that when he died, we died with him. When he rose, we rose with him. He said, therefore, because of that, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Now that is from God. That's Christ. So there's no excuse when we sin. Oh, that I'm just, well, that's my nature. Or you don't know the circumstance. Now, that's a good word. Victory is in Jesus. Keep that in your heart. Keep that in your life. You're going to need it, because you're going to have some failures. But I'll tell you, it is better to have failed serving God than have succeeded serving the devil. It is better to have a poverty-stricken life than to have so much money you're in bondage to it. You hear me? It is better, and all this because of victory in Jesus. It is better that you take a risk and you lose it than to do nothing and succeed in it. I believe that. The victory is in Jesus. It is complete. There's nothing to add to it or nothing to take from it. And you know what that means? It means that if the big stuff has been taken care of, I mean, that man lay over in the hospice. He wasn't worried about what the stock market was doing, or he didn't mention that. He didn't talk about whether it was going to rain today or not. He said, my sin are forgiven. See? So here's the deal I want to share with you. If Jesus has taken care of the one thing that separates us from God, the one thing that prevents us from living with God, the one thing that will send us to an eternal hell, then it seems to me like we would see everything else as manageable. As manageable. I want to say that softly as I can. Sometimes I try to talk too loud up here. You can manage your life because there's victory in Jesus. I didn't say that you wouldn't have any problems. But see, the problem is really not the problem in life. The problem is our attitude about the problem. You know the worst problem anybody can have is the fact that you have no problems at all. Because if you don't have any problems, you won't appreciate the victory that is in Jesus. Like the POW release man said, you'll never know what freedom is until you've had it and you lost it and you get it again. And my friends, that is what victory in Jesus is about. Because there's no sin greater than His grace. And the reason is, there was not a tomb deep enough to hold Him. There were no grave clothes that could be strapped on Him tight enough to keep Him. There was no death dark enough to prevent Him from rising again. That's Jesus. And you know what He can do? Because of His victorious position, because of His accomplishment. Now you hear about Caesars and you hear about Napoleon and all of those. But there's none like Jesus. And He is the captain of our salvation. And what happens here is this. I said these things called life are manageable. Not without Jesus. It's not about psychology or about self-help. It's about coming to God with your heart in your hands and you say, Jesus, it's yours. I cannot do this any longer. You ever had a... we had them years ago. We had some goats. And if some of these goats had horns, they would get their head stuck in the fence. And the reason they were sticking their head in the fence is they wanted something on the other side. They wanted something in a place they didn't need to be. Do you know that we kind of like that at times? We're going to stick our head in business in a place we ought not to be. You see, because we're not illegal aliens. Well, we don't have to run and hide. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Yeah, I know we're in a foreign world, so to speak. We are pilgrims and strangers here. But because of the victory in Jesus, we have a purpose. Every one of you have a purpose in life right now. Brother Edwin said it. in his recovery. Did you notice, though, Brother Edwin said in his email, the fight is not over. Well, you would say, well, if the victory's won, why is not the fight over? I remember Mr. Emory Deloach, Penny's daddy, had a brother that was killed in the Philippines after the war was over. A sniper shot him from a tree, Mr. Emory said. And we went to the memorial for him and over at Anderson Cemetery. But the war was over. See, you can die. You can lose your fellowship with God, which really is worse than death for a believer. It is. Simply by not claiming the victory that is in Jesus and trying to say, I can do it. You can't do it. Never say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Say, Jesus, by your powerful name, oh God, save me from this sin or this disobedience that hinders my fellowship with you. And Jesus will do it because there's victory in Jesus. But it's manageable. Life is. Now, secondly, I want you to know that challenges are divine because of the victory that is in Christ. Notice these verses. Therefore, in verse 58, because of this, because we have victory in Jesus, what? My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Now that implies there's something that may happen to you that will shake you up. Can I get a witness? That's how it happens. Do you think that's just an accident? No, no. Do you think you're the only one this has happened to? No. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God, with the temptation, because of his faithfulness, provides a way of escape. Why does he do that? Because of the victory that is in Jesus. Jesus Christ is not going to lose one of the redeemed, not one. When he prayed in John 17, now, Father, I would pray that all they be with me and be one. Do you think God said, and through Romans, the Apostle Paul, he that spared his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? That's victory. Now I agree, sometimes we don't act like we can master our own lives. But God knows how much to put in your plate. You hear me? He does. What you and I have to do is play the hand we're dealt, okay? Because God's a dealer. He is. And so these challenges are divine. So what God does, listen to me now, he will put us in situations that will make it look like it is just hopeless. We won't be able to get out of this. And he does that so we'll realize that him and only him can deliver us. That little boy that had two fishes and five loaves. Those people were hungry, thousands of them. You think that was just an accident? No, no. The Bible says Jesus knew what he was going to do before it ever happened. But it was impossible with man, but see, Jesus Christ is victorious, and he is a multiplier. A little bit is a lot when God's in it. The disciples were on the sea. Were they shocked? Yeah, they were. There had a storm come up. Was Jesus? No. He was in the boat asleep. But he was in that position. And that challenge, I'm going to tell you about God that I know, and I want you to know, I believe you do too. What is amazing to me? What makes life so exciting and really a challenge in the management of it is God can take a mess and bring something great out of it. It's almost like you stand there and you see the most dismal situation and you wonder, what is God going to do now? Because I'm going to tell you, He can make a virtuous woman out of a prostitute. He can make a sober man out of an alcoholic. That is the victory that is in Jesus. Psalms 113. I just want to read these two verses before we go. And we're not getting ready to go just yet, but I want to. Don't get your hopes up. I'm going to do my best, but you know how it is. Psalm 113, verse 7 and 8. What my point is, and what God's point is, I trust here, is I want us to see the power of Almighty God in bringing things around that don't look so good. Notice these two verses. Verse 7. Psalm 113, He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even the princes of His people. One of the things that bother us in managing our life is we fail to forget that Jesus said in Matthew 10, He did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You see, we just feel like, you know, if something's going wrong, gosh, either we done something wrong or somebody else. Sometimes we have, don't get me wrong. But still, what I want you to see here is that these challenges, these resistance in life, we said last week, or we said sometime not long ago, when you have been born again and you have the Holy Spirit, you are going to have a battle. I like to work in my garden, not because I make such good vegetables, because it teaches me about life. I never pull the weeds out of the garden while I don't think about pulling weeds out of my own heart. Your heart is like a garden spot. And what God has put in your heart is by His virtue and grace. But I'm going to tell you what, those weeds will grow. They don't have to be planted. And we got to fight the good fight of faith. And we have victory over that. That's what keeps us going. One other thing that matters as we think about this verse, be ye unmovable, steadfast, always abound in the work of the Lord. You know, to do that, it may require that we change directions. You ever thought about God does allow U-turns? He does. But when you think about the victory that is in Jesus, it's not about us. So what I want to say, if it's true, and it is, that all things of Him and nothing is impossible without Him, then why are we so fearful? Why do we want the world to like us so much? Why do we think we got to have the look to be in the cool, so to speak? I don't think we do that overall, but we'll let that stuff leak in, I guarantee you. And it causes us a lot of problems in our lives. And my last point is this. The victory in Jesus changes our direction. First of all, we've got to have a radical change. Because without Jesus' victory, we are all heading straight to hell. H-E-L-L. Gotcha? You got it? But by the new birth, it doesn't come on you in your sleep. But when it comes by the Spirit, you know it. No, you don't all of a sudden become a super saint. You don't say, well, I'm going to do this and that and for God. What you understand is it might be that still small voice that's speaking to your heart, that's directing your life, that's convincing you of sin and the wrong. It changes our direction. Most people, including myself, have some skeletons in their closets. Do you? If you do, that is probably one of the most hindering parts of not enjoying God and being who God called you to be in this life. Because we're always trying to be somebody we're not. We're always afraid there's something in that closet. Let me ask you this. Would you rather see where you're going or not remember where you've been? I'd rather see where I'm going, wouldn't you? I mean, sometimes I think these folks that deal with dementia are some of the blessed people I've ever known. My father-in-law was the happiest man I ever known in my life, even when he was stricken with dementia. The Apostle Paul said this. He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus. The high calling of Jesus is His victory. And that's what He's called us to be, victorious in Christ. But you can't do that, and I can't do that if we're going to just hang on to the past. So we got to deal with that. How do you deal with those skeletons? You just take them to God. He says, cast your burdens upon me. Have you done that? Do you really believe in the victory of Jesus? Are you a little bit scared that you might not measure up and that skeleton is a little too horrible? Then you need to get on your knees and thank God for Christ and the victory that we have in Him. And secondly, for God to get us in the right direction to manage these things, we've got to put God in everything we do. You know why the 10 spies, when they saw the promised land, made a decision that they couldn't do it. Wanted to go back to Egypt even. They just forgot that God had already said, it's yours. They forgot the game had already been won. What they saw was how big the enemy was. And they saw how small they were. They even said they were grasshoppers. And he said, they think we're grasshoppers. Neither one was true. But there were a couple that saw the victory in Jesus. Caleb and Joshua, you remember those two. But I think of one, and I know some of you are studying Joshua, and that's a great study in your Bible study classes. But in the 14th chapter of Numbers, when the land is being divided, the promised land. Now see, this is a result of living a life of victory in Jesus. There's a man by the name of Caleb. That's one of the spies. He had a positive attitude about life. He saw the same things everybody else did. But he believed God. He believed in the victory that God had given him. Do we? And so the Bible says in Numbers 14, you go read it when you can. It says, Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Now that's what applying the victory in Jesus, because I said This is the handle. We have faith. We believe Him. Now, either you believe God or you don't. You either believe Jesus died for your sins or He didn't. You either believe that you're going to live in heaven eternally or you're not. There's no middle ground with God. You believe Him. You trust Him. Even though you don't feel like it, see, you do it. God has given you that capacity to manage life with. Use it for His glory. Okay? So Caleb, when he's 85 years old, you know what he said? Joshua was giving him the option of some of the land. He didn't want the land that had the plains in it, the fertile ground where probably could graze and increase his cattle herds and flocks. No, he said, give me the mountain. Give me something challenging. See, when you live in the victory of Jesus, you will pray the prayer of Jabez. You will say, Lord, increase my borders. I mean, the older we get, don't think, well, your time is up, you just can't do this. That's what we need to say, God, give it to me. Increase me, Lord. Show me and bless me. He got the mountains. He said, why? Because that's where the giants are. He wanted to see God delivering. Do you? God is a wonderful, mighty God. Let's not try to belittle Him through our weakness and doubt and fears. And I'm not talking about spiritual pride here. I'm not. I'm talking about courage to live for God. And to be able to sing in our life song, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for the victory in Jesus. In His precious name we pray. Amen.